Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Now, you know how I feel. The chief law enforcement officer, if you will, in Philadelphia, how that impacts all of us across the region. And we've tried mightily to get some of these guys on. We have one guy on way back when, won't come back and all that. So I'm happy to bring you one of the leading candidates, at least as far as I can tell, in this race where you have, seven or so on the, it's hard to keep track, on the Democrat side, something like that, of various stripes, one of whom is backed by George Soros. That would be Larry Krasner. We told you about him. But joining us, and we'll talk here his background a little bit, but then I have several areas I want to find out his positions on, at least according to the local media, that might be a bit troubling for a DA. Jack O'Neill is one of the leading candidates to be. He's a former assistant DA. He joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Now, former assistant DA, why running? What's your vision? What's your theme running for DA in Philadelphia?
Well, I'm running in part because I have a lot more experience than anyone else who's running. I was there longer than anybody else. I prosecuted cases at a higher level than anyone else. In the last 10 years, in fact, there was only two of us who even stepped foot in the DA's office. Myself, who was there for 10 years, and then one of my opponents who was there for 6 months. I'm the only one who was ever in the homicide unit. I was there for several years, prosecuted dozens of homicides. Nobody else who's running has ever worked, ever prosecuted a homicide. And I think it's really my understanding of how to be a prosecutor and how to be a law enforcement officer, you know, based on that level of experience and
okay.
It distinguishes me.
Okay, gotcha. And give your website for people too, Jack, where they can find you.
It's O'Neill for DA.
O'Neillforda.com. All right. Yep. Now, there are areas, though, I dropped out of law school to do this, but if I were a prosecutor, I think I would be different on some of these. I'm looking at your response on the death penalty. I'm looking at BillyPenn.com. They have all the leading candidates, and some of them are pretty extreme that they won't seek the death penalty. You said to them you never chose to seek the death penalty. So in homicide cases, would you seek the death penalty as a DA?
Right. So that's the only thing you can seek the death penalty on. And so what one of the things that distinguishes me from everybody else running is I'm the only one who ever had to make the decision. In other words, I had cases that went through a process where they were certified for the death penalty, and then it was up to me whether or not
right.
to go forward. So I'll tell you, during my career, I always decided not to go forward on those cases, but I made a case-to-case basis, each case decision. I mean, each case I looked at on its own merits and decided that. And I think it's important to have that experience and to have done that before.
Let me ask you that, though. In my sense as a prosecutor, if someone commits a first-degree murder, whatever the criteria are for that, they've taken a human life, they've met first-degree murder, capital case, I would seek the death penalty every time. Why would I not?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, one of the reasons is because it's extremely expensive. It's what happens is you put a person on death row, and the person in Pennsylvania does not get the death penalty. So instead, you spend a tremendous amount of money, taxpayers' money, and you have to devote a lot of lawyers to defending constant appeals to keep that person on death row. And ultimately, we've only had the last time somebody was involuntarily put to death, in other words, they didn't agree mm-hmm. to it, was in the 1960s in Pennsylvania. And right now we have a moratorium, so it's even less likely. So what you'd be doing is...
Well, that's not quite accurate, though, Jack. Wait a minute, though. Gary Heidnick was somebody, you said, involuntarily, but he got the
right.
death penalty.
Right, but he gave up his right to appeal.
Okay, but why would we give that up? Why would you cede that ground when you have families who have lost a loved one? That life will never be taken back.
Well, I wouldn't cede that ground. That's what I said. I've said that I've made that decision before, and each time that I made it before, I made the determination that it was a better use of people's resources and that it was the right thing to do to give the person life sentences without parole rather than the death penalty. But I've also said that I wouldn't shut the door on doing it in the future. In fact, in cases, for example, where police officers are killed, I may feel very differently.
Okay, but so if someone kills me, then I want you to seek the death penalty. I don't care just about police officers.
Yeah, but it's not a decision to be made by one person. I mean, you have to remember, like I said, that what we're doing is we're talking about millions of dollars of taxpayer money that may go ultimately nowhere, may not ever end up.
But well, we also, at least a believer like me, if we don't take the death penalty back, we're not going to have a form of deterrence. I think that's what it's there for. It's also, I think we wouldn't be with Mumia Abu-Jamal wondering if someday he would get out of jail over those years.
Well, life without parole means life without parole. But I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, you're making a decision of taxpayers' money versus a death penalty. Like I said, I'm not saying that I would shut the door and say I'd never move forward on it. What I'm saying is you have to make a case-by-case basis.
Okay, gotcha. Wanted to move forward to some of your comments on Sanctuary City. I mean, you got in a little bit late. You said that, I'm reading at Philly.com if this is accurate, you support Mayor Kenney's Sanctuary City policy, even though the Obama administration actually had their head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, and others come here. And when I read how far out we are with this and what can and I think has happened already, why support that?
Here's what I say about Sanctuary City, and this is what I've said from the beginning. It's really important for people to understand what has changed since Donald Trump got into the White House. And what has changed is there's now a much more aggressive effort to deport people, regardless of how they come into contact with law enforcement. I prosecuted a number of homicides where my only witness was an undocumented or illegal immigrant. So those people now, under Trump's administration, when they come into contact with law enforcement, are mandatorily supposed to be detained and deported, which means they won't come forward, which means we won't be able to solve and prosecute those murder cases. But to me, it's far more important that we be able to prosecute homicide cases effectively than that we deport people who have never, not only never done anything wrong, but have also, quite frankly, done a huge civil service by coming forward and being
I hear what you're saying. I don't believe that's what the Trump people are doing. And you also said to Philly.com, this White House right now is racist, xenophobic, and it tries to gain power through hate.
Yeah, oh, I mean, absolutely. That's what this is. I mean, what we're talking about, prioritizing kicking a person out of the country who's never done anything wrong and has quite frankly done something good as a good citizen over solving a homicide.
You really believe that's what the Trump administration said? How's it racist, Jack?
Because it's a scapegoating. I mean, their arguments against undocumented immigrants have not been founded on any statistics. I mean, this
fear-mongering. I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but I might say, you know, as two guys, I didn't graduate law school and you've been a top prosecutor. Can we drop the undocumented? Is there anything wrong with saying illegal? That's a legal term.
It's a fine term. I
okay.
mean, look, I choose whatever term seems to...
But you're a lawyer. You're a prosecutor. How are we ever going to move forward if you're going to call it undocumented when it's illegal?
Well, they actually, I mean, ultimately, they now are seen to mean two different things. I mean, undocumented, which is that would be somebody like a witness who's here undocumented, but they've never done anything else illegal. So illegal usually is used now to talk about somebody.
Well, that's wrong. That's a bastardization of language, Jack, in my view, because there's nothing wrong with the word illegal. It simply means they don't have legal status to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's semantics. I think you're talking.
I don't think so. Okay, I don't think so. But they're racist, though, and xenophobic, and try to gain power from hate.
Yeah, I mean, why are we talking about deporting people who are doing something as a good citizen as a priority over prosecuting homicides?
I think we're going after people, and that's why Jay Johnson came here and others who, if they get out, will commit more crimes, like the guy who killed Kate Steinle in San Francisco. That's who ICE is locking up, as far as I know.
No, I mean, no. The efforts to do things like go to people's schools to grab their parents and to tell homicide detectives they have to notify ICE right away if they come into contact with a witness who's trying to help us solve a homicide, that's over the top. It's not good. It makes the city more dangerous. I'm telling you, as somebody who prosecuted homicides that would make it in. Would have made me unable to prosecute those murderers. I'm talking about cases like Emmanuel Duran, who was a murderous guy who went around robbing pharmacies and then at gunpoint, and then taking the pharmaceutical, the painkillers that he took, dumping them onto our streets, making our streets more dangerous, making the opioid epidemic worse, and also murdering people. And I was the one who was able to prosecute him for that murder simply because I didn't have to do what the White House wants me to do now, which is when I came into contact with a witness who was here illegally, I didn't have to
notify
the White House.
You mean to say the Kenny administration cannot say, we're talking about Jack O'Neill, candidate for DA, we're not going to turn over people to come in as witnesses or do whatever you say on that, but yet protect us by not allowing people, some of whom are deported, come back again or in jail. They don't tell the federal government. That's what they're asking for. You don't want to help with that?
See, that's a misunderstanding that some people have. If somebody is arrested on a violent crime, even a simple assault, which is a misdemeanor, they're still deported. They always have been. That hasn't changed.
How about if they're a drunk driver?
White House has done.
How about if they're a drunk driver?
Do you think that's a good use of the resources?
I do think they ought to be deported. They're here illegally, and they're putting us at risk. Yes.
I mean, I think in that case, that it really depends on the person and what they've done. I mean, I think that's not the best use of resources, isn't to be going around trying to deport people simply because, you know, the Trump administration has made that such a high priority. Like I said, I think you need to remember that if the White House is able to let the word go out that anybody who's here illegally that comes into contact with law enforcement is going to be deported, in those cases, I can tell you another one, Raheem Brown's another guy, murderous, killed people, robbed people, gunpoint robberies of pharmacies, and I would not have been able to put him away for the life sentence that he now has if we had had the administration that we have now, because that woman that came forward as a witness against them never would have if she thought that the minute she came forward, the homicide detectives were going to put her in ICE custody and deport her. So you got to get your priorities. It's very easy to say, well, you know, if they're here illegally, then they need to be deported no matter what. But I don't think that's the best way to do, so, you know, to do law enforcement in a place like Philadelphia.
Well, but what this is coming down to is saying
far more important. Right.
Okay, but what this is coming down to, Jack, is we're not going to get rid or return any of these people. We're in just adamant violation of the law here when it comes to dealing with the federal government, and Philadelphia deserves to lose hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think that's a common misunderstanding. There's never been a declaration that we're not going to deport any of these people. People who are convicted, like I said, even of misdemeanors like simple assault, have always been deported.
Wait a minute, you know, Jack, wait a minute. I'll give you a case. I don't have the guy's name in front of me. I can look it up. We can send it to you. I remember the case that this guy who is now alleged, and your office is prosecuting, or the DA's office is prosecuting him, for raping a child. He had been before beating up his girlfriend or wife. He was here illegally. Because it sometimes happens, and you know better than I because of your service, the woman wouldn't testify. So on technical grounds, essentially, he got off. And then he turns up again now with the rape of a young child. I mean, how do we justify that?
Right. Well, we don't. I mean, I've been the most aggressive of any of these candidates and probably anybody who's run for district attorney in domestic violence cases. I take domestic violence cases extremely seriously. And so I'm not talking about somebody. If the DA's office believes.
No, but Jack, he got off on the technicality, as happens, and he was here illegally. We could have gotten him on that. Instead, he was able to walk because the federal government wasn't able to get at him.
And that's exactly what I've been saying. What you need to do is have discretion. What I'm saying is you need to have a policy where you allow the district attorney's office to have discretion. So if a guy commits a vicious act of domestic violence and he's here illegally, then, yeah, he should be deported. And if he sexually assaults a child, there's no question. Of course, he should go to jail, and when he's done his jail sentence, he should be deported.
Okay.
But here's what's important, and here's what people need to understand. What the White House now wants us to do is say that when the person comes into contact with law enforcement, like if that victim of domestic violence had also been here illegally, this White House says she should also be detained and deported. That is not going to make our city safe.
I have not seen that anywhere. I will ask them. I asked them for clarification on that. One parting area then, what would you say, again, your experience as an assistant DA, high homicide cases, etc., what else is the big issue to you in this race?
gun violence is a huge issue for me. It's a huge issue for Philadelphia. It's something that I've worked against for a long time. We had some really good programs and some good legislation to make sure that we were able to reduce gun violence. We did it effectively in places like South Philadelphia. Reduced gang, it's a lot of what I've focused on is gang-related violence.
Mm-hmm.
Reduced gang-related homicides in South Philadelphia with the Focus Deterrence Program by 70%. This is a huge thing for me. It's a lot of why I'm running. I also, as you know, I spent 7 years in the Special Victims Unit prosecuting people who committed acts of sexual assault, especially against children.
Mm-hmm.
One of my focuses was people who sexually assaulted disabled children. This is a huge, huge thing for me. I think that the units need to be supported better. I think they need to be strengthened. I think the DAs that do the work there and the homicide detectives and the special victims detectives that I had the pleasure of working with for over a decade are absolutely phenomenal, but they need a backing from the DA's office. I also think, obviously, and I don't think anybody would disagree with this, that the DA's office needs a much better example of integrity from the top person. My 10 years there, I was never questioned on anything. I always led by example as somebody who had the highest level of integrity. And as the next DA, I would give that example to the rest of the office, and I would absolutely restore people's faith in the integrity of the office.
Jack, give your website again, would you please?
O'Neill for DA.
Thank you very much for coming on today. Good luck 2 weeks from today.
Thank you very much. My name is Jack O'Neill. I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.